live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here live on this Thursday, January 4th, 2017, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. So honored you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. And man, oh man, do we have a hot show coming right at you, filled with a ton of dialogue. On today's Current Sports, I will recap what we saw last night from the Michigan State women's basketball team shaking off the first Big Ten loss of the year against Rutgers over the weekend and rebounding quite nicely against the Northwestern Wildcats last night. And this one was not even close. Michigan State led wire to wire. Shea Colley was fantastic. I was really impressed, though, with the play of one particular player. I'll highlight her in just a moment. You don't want to miss that. You'll also get a chance to hear from our very own Susie Merchant, head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. Susie will be commenting on whether or not she felt like her team rebounded nicely with the win over Northwestern last night. She'll be played in our intro. Also, you know, as I was walking out of the Breslin Center, I noticed a new addition to the Hall of History. Yeah, it's newly implanted in the Hall of History, and I think it's going to turn a lot of heads and probably spook a few of you Spartan fans out there as you get back to Michigan State men's basketball, to the Breslin Center for this week. Again, tonight, as Michigan State men's basketball will welcome Maryland to the Breslin Center. But those perusing the Hall of History will notice this new addition. I will talk about the new addition in just a moment. As promised on yesterday's Current Sports, we will chat a bit about the Honolulu Blue, the Detroit Lions, as they are still searching for its new head coach. Who will be the new head coach of the Detroit Lions? We'll give you an update on the coaching search, and we'll put in perspective the firing of Jim Caldwell. And we'll be giving away a pair of tickets, to tonight's men's basketball game. Find out how you can win a pair of tickets to check out Michigan State and Maryland in just a moment. And we'll have an elaborated conversation concerning tonight's MSU and Maryland game. And we will propose the question whether or not the stock of Miles Bridges, the NBA stock of Miles Bridges, is going down. I'll address that question later on this hour. And then on the back end of the show, we will highlight a man on the coaching staff of the Michigan State football team that is in talks with another school. I'll let you know who that is, and you'll find out in our quick hit headliners in just a moment. And it is Thursday. Man, it's a lot we're trying to cover here on today's Current Sports, right? It's Thursday, and you guys know each and every Thursday we love to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. We call it Throwback Thursday. You don't want to miss that. Throwback Thursday will close out the hour here on Current Sports. We will do our best to cover all of that while also inviting you to be a part of the fun. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. The live stream is up and running, or you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team, which was in action last night after outscoring Northwestern 50-22 in the first half. The Michigan State women's basketball squad rolled to a convincing 81-51 win last night at the Breslin Center. The Spartans improved to 12-4 overall and 2-1 in Big Ten play. The Wildcats fall to 8-9 overall and 1-2 in league contest. Michigan State was led by 18 points from redshirt sophomore guard Shea Colley. She's been awesome this year, who also added 6 assists and 5 steals. Redshirt senior Brandi Agee added her second straight double-dub of the year, 12 points and 10 boards. Sophomore guard Taryn McCutcheon, East Lansing's own, scored 16 points, while senior guard slash forward Lexi Gussert added 14. Oceana Hamilton led the Wildcats with 15 points off the bench. The Spartan defense also held NU's Abby Sheed to a season low, 2 points, and just the third time in single-digit scoring as she entered Wednesday, ranking 16th in the Big Ten in scoring at 13.5 points per game. Michigan State will now hit the road for a 3-straight Big Ten road performance. The Spartans will travel to Minnesota this Sunday at 4 p.m., you can watch that one on the Big Ten Network. And then Michigan State will face Maryland on January 11th and Illinois on January 16th on the road. All right, the Michigan women's basketball team has another chance at history. With 123 career victories, Coach Kim Barnes-Rico sits tied with Sue Guerra for the most in program history. This will be the Wolverines, who are 1-1 in the Big Ten, 12-3 overall. This will be the Wolverines' second attempt to put their coach atop the all-time list after losing this past Sunday to number 18 Iowa, but number 22 Michigan should feel confident to do so against a meager Wisconsin squad. The Badgers' record is 7-8, 0-2 in Big Ten play. It isn't atrocious. Statistically, though, they're a mess. Wisconsin ranks last in the Big Ten in points per game, block shots, and three-point percentage. They also rank second to last in free throw percentage and steals. To make matters worse, they are third worst in turnover margin at minus 2.1, also scoring margin, field goal percentage, and three-pointers per game. The Wolverines have outscored their opponents by an astounding 17.5 points and have won by a double-digit scoring margin in all but two victories. Expect more of the same tonight. The Michigan State men's basketball team. Yeah, folks, again, we're giving away a pair of tickets to that matchup. We'll let you know how you can win these hot tickets in just a moment. But the Spartans step back into Big Ten play tonight against Maryland. They are playing perhaps their best basketball yet, even if the level of competition has made that difficult to determine. Michigan State is not only the nation's top-ranked team, it leads the country in field goal percentage defense, holding teams to 32.8% shooting, which is more than 3 percentage points better than anyone else in the nation. Very impressive stuff there. The Terrapins are coming off an important 75-69 win over Penn State on Tuesday night. It was their first game since learning starting power forward Justin Jackson will miss the rest of the season with a torn labrum, and the first since losing reserve forward Ivan Bender to a knee injury on Friday. Now, the lack of depth inside will catch up to Maryland, but this is still a sizable lineup. Now starting 7'1", yes, 7'1", Michael Shavosky, and 6'10", 245-pound freshie Bruno Fernando in the front court alongside sophomore standout Kevin Hooter. Now, the player who makes Maryland go and has helped make up for the loss of Melo Trimble, who left for the NBA draft, is do-it-all sophomore guard Anthony Cowan Jr.
The game begins at 8 p.m. and will be televised on Fox Sports 1. Stay tuned to find out how you can earn a pair of tickets to check out that game tonight. The stability of Mark D'Antonio's coaching staff is being tested a bit. USA Today's Dan Wolken reported Wednesday that Michigan State associate head coach and co-defensive coordinator Harlan Barnett is engaged in, quote, ongoing conversations, end quote, with Florida State about the Seminoles' open defensive coordinator position. Barnett, who turned 51 on Tuesday and played defensive back for the Spartans back in the 80s, has been a part of D'Antonio's staff since 04 at Cincinnati. He returned to Michigan State with Coach D in 2007 as defensive backs coach and received a promotion to co-defensive coordinator alongside Mike Tressel. That's when Pat Narduzzi left for a job at Pitt following the 2014 year. D'Antonio added associate head coach to Barnett's title last June. Red Berenson will be honored for his 33 seasons of coaching Michigan hockey when the Red Berenson rink will be officially dedicated in his honor on Friday at Yost Ice Arena. Michigan will be hosting Notre Dame in a Big Ten contest. Puck drop scheduled for 6:30 p.m. at Michigan. Berenson, who was a two-time All-American, the 1962 WCHA Most Valuable Player and team captain. Following graduation, his NHL career spanned 17 years and included winning the Stanley Cup as a member of the Montreal Canadiens in 1965 and 66. He went on to coach in the NHL for 3 years and was named the Jack Adams Award winner. That's the NHL Coach of the Year. That happened back in 1981. Now, upon returning to Michigan in 1984 as the head coach, Berenson brought Michigan hockey back to the forefront of the NCAA, guiding the Wolverines to national championships in 96 and 98 while winning 21 conference championships. That dedication is so deserving for Berenson. All right, without center Andre Drummond, who is out with right rib contusion, likely the Pistons' sole candidate for next month's NBA All-Star game, the Miami Heat made 17 three-pointers in sending the Detroit Pistons to a 111-104 loss at American Airlines Arena. Pistons shooting guard Avery Bradley returned to the lineup after missing 7 games with a groin injury, and his three-pointer with 117 remaining cut the deficit to 107-104. But Heat big man Kelly Olynyk, he was fantastic last night. 25 points, 13 boards. He grabbed an offensive rebound on the next possession, and his layup with 14 seconds later, I should say, gave the Heat a 109-104 lead with 39 seconds left. Boban Marjanovic, he received the start at center for the Pistons and played well offensively, 15 points, 5 of 8 from the floor, 9 boards. Tobias Harris led the Pistons with 19 points, and Bradley struggled, going 6 for 19 and scoring 15. The Pistons will play the Philadelphia 76ers come this Friday. Andreas Athanasiou, he scored his second goal of the night Wednesday at Little Caesars Arena, 6 seconds into overtime, giving the Detroit Red Wings a 2-1 dub over the Ottawa Senators. It's the first time in 7 overtimes this season the Wings have won. And the Detroit Lions, last but not least, the coaching search for the Lions continues and will turn to a pair of divisional options on Thursday, that being today when the team's brain trust sits down with Minnesota offensive coordinator Pat Shurmur and Green Bay Packers linebackers and associate head coach Winston Moss. The Lions interviewed in-house candidates Terrell Austin and Jim Bob Cooter on Tuesday, met with Houston, Texas defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel Wednesday. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you would like to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. It's 517-355-9527. You can also join us via social media. Multiple ways in which you can do that. You can watch the live stream right now at facebook.com/currentsports or join us via Twitter, weigh in via Twitter. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's keep it pushing.
thought it was good. I mean, I was a little bit worried about being flat sometimes. It's a grind. I mean, that's our third game in, you know, less than 7 days. So that's a lot on these kids. And they had a little bit of a break a couple days at Christmas. So, you know, Joe and I were actually talking about that before the game, just, you know, the challenges of that and the inconsistency of, like, when we play. You know, we used to basically be Thursday, Sundays, and now we're all over the place. And I'm sure it's hard for you guys to try to figure out cover and everything. It's hard for fans to kind of understand that, but it'd be nice to protect that a little more so you get into a little bit more of a groove, but it's just all over the place, you know? I mean, I don't know why we didn't play on Thursday. You know, kind of is odd to me. Wasn't like this was a television opportunity where we played on TV, so they moved us for this window. So I'm not sure where that was driven at. So I don't know. I'd like to see a little more consistency in that because I think it helps our players. It helps them in academics, too, because we're not traveling all over the place in the middle of the week and late nights and things like that. But I know Izzo talks about that, too, because they kind of play all over the map, too, you know, based on television windows. So I'm not sure why it was tonight. So I'm kind of looking forward to have a day to just kind of study ourselves a little bit tomorrow. You know, do a few things to kind of stay focused and then get back at it because we have three in a row on the road, you know, which is, and then I think we play a lot more in February at home, but we're basically gone all of January with the exception of a game or two, so it's a tough swing.
To another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Hope you guys are staying warm out there because it's still really, really cold. Not expected to warm up here in the state of Michigan, or I should say across the entire nation until next week. So stay warm, folks. Stay warm. And we plan on keeping you all warm out here with another steaming hot edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, and what you just heard intermixed with this smooth intermission was the voice of Susie Merchant, head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, as Michigan State made it look just easy last night with a 30-point win over the Northwestern Wildcats last night, 81-51, the final of last night's game. And you heard Susie commenting on what she thought of the response of her team after losing in a really close battle against Rutgers this past Sunday. But they rebound quite nicely. 2-1 in the Big Ten now. Michigan State is 12-4 overall. And I do want to highlight a few players. You know, I was in attendance in that game, covering that game for you all. And a few takeaways. I want to give a big shout out to Shea Colley. She has been just fantastic this year for Michigan State. I mean, I feel like just about every game, she's among, or if not the leading scorer for Michigan State. It's so fun watching her play. If you have not checked out the Michigan State women's basketball team this year, they are a fun group to watch. But Shea Colley, she's 5'9". She's a redshirt sophomore from Brampton, Ontario, Canada. / South Carolina. I should throw that in there as well. Shea is just fun to watch. She's a gritty, tough player. She's a great guard. She's got great vision. She's fun to watch on the break. She can pull up and hit you with the floater. She can hit you with the mid-range jumper. She was great last night. She was 7 of 9 from the floor, finished with 18 points. Also had 6 assists, just 2 turnovers. And also, this is very impressive. You talk about her gritty play. She's a great defensive player as well. She had 5 steals last night as well. Brandi Agee, you know, she's a firecracker when she's out there playing. It's been a pleasure to cover Brandi as well, hailing from Detroit, Michigan. Shout out to Brandi. She's been live here in studio with us a few times. But Brandi Agee, she's a fantastic player as well. 5 of 13. Struggled a bit from deep. She was 2 of 6 from deep. But, you know, had a double-double, as I noted, in our headliners. 12 points, 10 rebounds for her. She was fun to watch. Nia Holly as well. I want to give her some credit because Nia, you know, she made plays that you won't find on the stat sheet at the end of the game. There were numerous times in which Nia Holly, if there was a missed shot, she would chase down, you know, the rebound, or she was just playing solid defense that would lead to a missed shot. She was the energy bunny last night for the team. And there was even one play where she, you know, she pump faked, drew a defender in the lane, and that defender shed it off of Taya Reimer in the paint, fed Taya Reimer with a great dime for 2 points. She's scrappy. I love her. She's like the garbage man of the team who can also facilitate a bit. And, you know, if you're sleeping on her, she can knock down that mid-range jumper or take it off the dribble. So she's a do-it-all player, but she'll clean up the mess if somebody throws up some crap near the rim. I like Nia Holly a lot. But what was really impressive, in addition to Holly and Kali, was Taryn McCutcheon, and also AG, but was Taryn McCutcheon, East Lansing's own Taryn McCutcheon. She is finding a nice balance between, you know, being that facilitator for the team, trying to get everybody involved, but also looking for her shot. And that's something that Susie Merchant, head coach, reiterated during her post-game press conference last night, is that Taryn is starting to find that balance that we saw so often from a player like Tori Jankowska, the all-time leading scorer for the Michigan State women's basketball team. Tori Jankowska, you know, one of the big storylines coming into this year for Susie's team was who was going to step into that role now that Tori is gone. You know, who's going to be that guard to command the offense? The obvious answer was Taryn McCutcheon, but the big question mark was how quickly, and if ever, she could be that player to find her scoring rhythm while also being a great facilitator to the other talent on the team. And Taryn is starting to find that balance now. Now, I was always curious when watching Taryn, you know, she's not the biggest guard. She's really undersized. She's going to be undersized 9 out of 10 times every single night that Michigan State women's basketball plays. But what makes Taryn so dynamic is that she's so small, yet she still finds a way to get to the lane and get easy layups. So I shouldn't call them easy, tough layups. She's willing to go in there amongst the trees and make things happen. But also, and I had to ask Susie this last night, you know, just the dynamic of finding that three-point range for Taryn. She was not shy in letting it fly last night from deep. She was 4 of 6 from three-point land. And there were multiple times, I mean, Taryn would just come down early in the shot clock. If her player that was guarding her was lagging off, she would just pull up right in her face and nail it. She was fantastic last night. So I want to give Taryn a big shout-out as well. As Michigan State now, and you just heard Susie noted, Michigan State will be hitting the road for most of the month of January, and then they will spend most of their time in February inside the friendly confines of the Breslin Center. But it's going to be an interesting stretch of basketball for the Michigan State women as they, again, are just in the infant stages of Big Ten play and now have to go on the road and get wins. But nonetheless, last night was a fantastic one, an 81-51 final for the Michigan State women's basketball team. In just a moment, we are going to give you the opportunity to now check out the Michigan State men's basketball team as Tom Izzo's squad will welcome to the Breslin the Maryland Terrapins. That will be an 8 p.m. tip time. You can catch that one if you're not heading to the Breslin. If you don't win these tickets, you can spend it at home on your couch in the warmth of your cozy home watching that one on Fox Sports 1 on your television. And before we give you the opportunity to win these tickets, I do want to talk about the Detroit Lions and Jim Caldwell. You know, it's a topic that we didn't get a chance to highlight yesterday, but I promised you I would today. And I just want to highlight the move first, because we all saw this coming. Let's be real here. Firing Jim Caldwell, this has been in talks for a long time. On the back end of the season, it was the storyline for the Lions. And, you know, what's so interesting is that, you know, I've been reading a lot as it pertains to the player perception of firing Jim Caldwell. And one quote that really stood out to me and one story that was told happened to be the story of Ziggy Ansah. And Ziggy Ansah, who's one of the stout players on that Detroit Lions defense, who did have some injury problems this year. But, you know, Ziggy, when healthy, I think he's a really dynamic talent in the league. But, you know, Ziggy Ansah, who was drafted in 2013, you know, I read an article that highlighted how Ziggy, you know, he commented after the Detroit Lions beat the Green Bay Packers last weekend on New Year's Eve to finish out the year on some kind of a high note, right? And Ziggy talked about how much he loves Jim Caldwell. Ansah went on to say, quote, "I love Jim Caldwell. No doubt about that." He went on to say, quote, "He's a great coach. He doesn't only teach us how to be football players. He teaches us how to be responsible men. It's not all about football. He made us understand that people are going through tough times, tougher than this. And as much as we'd love to be in the playoffs, you've got to be able to overcome. Jim's a great man, and I wouldn't trade him for nobody else." What that speaks to is how much the players loved Jim Caldwell. He was a player's coach. And you constantly heard this about Jim Caldwell when speaking to the players about Caldwell. They absolutely adored the man. He was a father figure for the players. He was a man who not only taught you the X's and O's of the game, but a man who you could talk to about life. And he was there lending his ear. You heard that a lot. So emotionally, I don't think a lot of Detroit Lions fans understand that, you know, emotionally, this could have a bit of an effect on the Detroit Lions come next year, because the players did adore Jim Caldwell. But at the end of the day, the NFL is a business. And at the end of the day, if you do not win, you are going to be shown the door. Now, by Lions standards, and that's why I say you have to grade Jim Caldwell with a bit of a curve here, because by Lions standards, which isn't saying a lot, Jim Caldwell went 36-28. I've noted that multiple times. He's won more often than any other Detroit Lions coach in the Super Bowl era. At 16-8 in the NFC North, the Lions have won more often against the division than during any other four-year period, get this, in Lions history. If you're comparing Jim Caldwell's record of success to Detroit Lions history, it fares pretty good. But again, you have to grade that with a curve, because we're talking about the Detroit Lions. The Lions, who have had a history of disappointing their fans each and every Sunday. They swept the hated Green Bay Packers for the first time since 1991. So, Caldwell, the winningest coach, the winningest Lions coach of the Super Bowl era. But the Lions are also the second losingest franchise of the Super Bowl era. Only the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are worse. And even the Bucs, for goodness sake, have won a Super Bowl. In the early 2000s, we all know how John Gruden, who is supposedly going to be the next head coach of the NFL's Oakland Raiders, we all know how John Gruden led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to a title. So you look at it and you say, all right, what kind of standard is that, right? Because when you put things in perspective, we all knew this had to come, because Detroit went 1-7 against winning teams and were playing for just nothing. Nothing this past Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. due to that. No playoff berth. No wild card spot. No division title. No playoff bye. Nothing. And this is year four for Caldwell. Even though we are talking about the winningest Lions coach of the Super Bowl era. It had to happen. The relationship got strained because you didn't win against the big dogs. 4 years in, Caldwell is just 4-23 against teams that finished above 500. And, you know, it's bittersweet because you take into account Jim's success, comparing that to Lions standards, and you say, all right, that's pretty good. But at the same time, I feel like you, Detroit Lions fans, are finally raising the bar a bit and saying that that isn't enough. We got to start competing for Super Bowls now. Heck, if the Chicago Cubs can win the World Series, why can't the Honolulu Blue compete and let alone win a Super Bowl? Because I feel like the talent is there. The pieces are there. The standards have been raised now. You know, engineer Ian Hawley, I'm curious to get your thoughts about the firing of Jim Caldwell, because we talked about this extensively, you know, before you left for the break, you know, the firing of Jim Caldwell. Like, and I kind of compare it, you know, when I talk about the standards changing now in the eyes of many Detroit Lions fans, I kind of compare it to when you're dating that one chick, right? When you're dating that woman and you really like her. The relationship has had some ups. It's had some downs. But for the most part, it's been the... Well, I should say not for the most part. It has been the best relationship you have ever had, though, in comparison to everybody else you've dated. But when you look at the relationship, you know that woman isn't the one you're going to marry. You just feel like you're hitting a peak. You feel like you're hitting a ceiling. And you want more for yourself. That's what I compare this to.
That's a good analogy.
Right? That's a good analogy.
That's a good
right?
analogy.
You know, you look at Jim Caldwell, in comparison to the rest of the pack, the rest of the coaches who have come before Jim Caldwell, this is the best coach that we've seen in the Super Bowl era for the franchise. However, you look at it and you're realistic with yourself. You look at the mistakes this past year. You don't make the playoffs. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, the Lions would not be ready to start the game and would constantly try and dig themselves out of holes after the first quarter, not prepared to start the game. 1 week, they had 8 men on the defensive side of the ball. The other week, they have 9. Those are all coaching blunders. So you look at Jim and you say, this isn't the guy who is going to lead us to the promised land. We got to make a change because the standards are changing. And I know Bob Quinn, he actually had a presser yesterday addressing how the coaching search is coming along. And I think Bob Quinn is going to choose the right man for the job. And, you know, that it's been rumored that the Lions are looking at, you know, is it Matt Patricia?
Yes.
Out of New England.
Yeah, I heard they were going to interview him this upcoming weekend.
Exactly. Matt Patricia, who is the defensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, who I like a lot. He's done a great job there for the Patriots. But again, I think the problems go deeper than just the head coach. I think that's another point that Detroit Lions fans are missing. This goes deeper. The Lions' flaws go deeper than just Jim Caldwell at the head coaching position. So don't expect whoever they hire, don't expect them to come, you know, as the head coach and automatically lead you to a Super Bowl. The problems go deeper, but it does start with the head coach. How do you evaluate the situation for the Lions here? And, you know, I think you and I agree here, Ian, that this was a move that needed to be made.
Yeah, it was time for Jim Caldwell to go. I mean, you talk about hitting that ceiling where at a certain point, if you're doing something over and over again and expecting a different result, they call that crazy. So you
got to
make the best decision for the franchise, not necessarily focus on the wonder years of Jim Caldwell, if you will. For the Lions. They just needed to make a change. I think, again, it was the right move for the Lions to fire Caldwell. I personally would love to see Jim Bob Cooter move up and take that job, but that's just me, I guess, rooting for the home team guys.
Really? You're a Bob Cooter fan?
I really like him. I think he's very smart with the X's and O's, as you need to be as a coordinator. And I think he would be reasonable in understanding that he's not going to be able to control both sides of the ball as well as leaving it up to one of his coordinators. Mm-hmm. So I think he would be kind of more of a hands-off head coach in that respect and kind of let his coordinators take over the main load of the play calling, which I think would be smart, and he can focus on player personnel, which is what the Lions really need to do. I mean, they've been plagued by injuries and everything, but
right.
That's a different story. So time for Jim Caldwell to go. I would like to see Jim Bob Cooter or Patricia would be a great replacement as well.
Yeah, and Patricia, I tell you what, talk about personality, oh my goodness. You know, you go from a man in Jim Caldwell who's so well put together, you know, he's very composed, a bit dry during press conferences, but he's trying to keep his team focused. He's like a grandfather figure. That's what Jim Caldwell reminds me of. And then you go to Matt Patricia, you know, with the beard and the pencil in his ear all the time, you know, rocking T-shirts and hoodies. It's a different dude. Matt Patricia is a different dude. He's very intense. So you'll go from Jim Caldwell to Matt Patricia, who is going to be a walking soundbite every single week. What do you think, though? Who should be the next head coach of the Detroit Lions? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also comment below our Facebook page live stream at Facebook.com/currentsports or tweet me at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at at WKAR_sports is the show's official Twitter handle. When we come back, we will give away a pair of tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball matchup as the Spartans welcome the Maryland Terrapins to the Breslin Center. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. In just a moment, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to check out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball team as the Spartans welcome Maryland to the Breslin Center, resuming Big Ten action. But before I do that and throw out the trivia question, I want to go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana that wants to chime in. Ray, what's up, my man?
Happy New Year again, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Hey, I want to go buy something with you. 20 years ago when I was an usher down in Michigan, I went to the Rose Bowl and they won the national title. And we were coming home on the airplane. My daughter says to me, she says, Dad, why do you say they'll never win another one? I said, because they're arrogant, they're prideful, and they're rich people. And here 20 years later, they haven't won one. They've only won one in 75 years. You see how they threw all their money at Jim Harbaugh, the Messiah? They brung him in there and spent all that money on all the other football coaches?
Yeah.
And they're still losing.
They are.
They're arrogant, prideful, and they won't humble themselves down there. I hope you guys keep beating the hell out of them.
I knew you were going to go at Michigan, as you always do, Ray, each and every day here on Current Sports. But, yeah, I mean.
Well, tell me why they have only won one in 75 years.
There's numerous reasons and numerous layers behind that. And, you know, we tackled the Jim Harbaugh, and you got my thoughts on the whole Jim Harbaugh situation on yesterday's show. If you missed that rant, just simply go to WKR.org. And you heard my take on that, Ray. Jim Harbaugh right now, he's been tremendously overrated.
Yeah.
He hasn't developed a quarterback. You know, we had a caller, I believe it was Dave from Wyoming, that called in yesterday and talked about Down Brown and how he hasn't been able to develop the defense. So there are numerous reasons, but I think we can all agree on this. You know, Jim Harbaugh heading into year four, he's got to win next year or he will be run out of town. I think we all agree on that, Ray.
I watched their games all year, okay? There was three times there was at least 3 or 4 minutes left in the game, and he had all timeouts left, and he wouldn't punt the ball. He went for it on 4th and 1 or 2. Instead of trying a little short pass, he was throwing passes way down the field trying to get a 40 or 50-yard play.
Exactly. That's what I talked about on yesterday's show. It made no sense at all. The announcers reamed him.
Why would you run a tight end? He's never had a carry all year on that fumble.
Yeah, and he admitted he had the wrong personnel out there when they handed the ball off to tight end Sean McCune, and there was just a lot of confusion. There's some problems when it comes to the play calling situation, when it just comes to the overall communication of the coaching staff from game to game to game. We all know that.
The 49ers, he had a lot of disorganization then.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it, and I'm happy.
I know you are, Ray. You are. You love to hate the Michigan Wolverines. Yeah,
bullies are getting what they deserve.
Ray from Indiana, thank you so much,
God
Ray.
Bless you, buddy.
All right, my man. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. If you want to call in and express your hate for U of M or Michigan State for that matter, call in. We may get some hate mail if we do that, Ian. I don't think we've ever had a caller call in. And, you know, it makes sense. We're here in East Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
We're here on the campus of Michigan State University. We've never had a caller call in and just, like, bash Michigan State. You know, I try to keep it, you know, even though we're here on the campus of MSU, I try to stay non-biased, you know, and allow both fan bases to just go at it. But we've never had the equivalent of a Ray, and as much as Ray hates on U of M, call in and just bash Michigan State. That'll be interesting if that happens.
I really wish we had a caller who would call. I mean, Ray is probably the closest that we have, but the equivalent to that woman on the Paul Feinbaum show who just screams Roll Tide the whole time she's on the
goodness.
Air.
Yeah, Paul Feinbaum, and shout out to Paul Feinbaum. I do enjoy Paul Feinbaum's show, but, you know, he has all those Alabama fans call in, and they're just, they give it to Auburn, dude. I mean, they go at it when it comes to Auburn. All right, well, I want to give away a pair of tickets right now to check out tonight's Michigan State and Maryland men's basketball game. We make you earn them here on WKAR's Current Sports. I want to give you a trivia question. I want to know, with Michigan State being ranked numero uno in both polls, the USA Today Coaches Poll, as well as the AP Associated Press Top 25, this is the first time that Tom Izzo's squad has been ranked number one in the national polls since when? But not only that, I want you to tell me when. I also want to know how long did they hold the top spot down for? That's the question. Michigan State has been ranked number one in both polls. When was the last time this has happened, and how long did Michigan State hold down the top spot for? Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And, you know, and speaking of, while you guys are calling in, speaking of, you know, the number one spot, you know, and Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. I also want to pose a question to our listeners out there, you know, because, you know, this is something that was brought up actually by Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, producer, and host down at CBS Atlanta. And Deshaun commented on Miles Bridges and how he believes that the stock of Miles Bridges has gone down. And we kind of had a back and forth discussing that stock. And, you know, I noted how the week prior to, you know, this week, Miles Bridges was actually named Big Ten Player of the Week. And, you know, this week it's Nick Ward, who has been on just a tear. He's been very, very consistent, playing great basketball right now. And, you know, Deshaun said that, you know, with Miles, and I made this point, with Miles deferring so much, and I think at times Miles defers a bit too much instead of looking for his shot and letting everything else fall in place. But with that being said, I think Miles understands that this is a team game. He's so unselfish. He knows that this roster is loaded. There are a lot of components to it. He wants to get his teammates involved. In doing that and in having that mentality, sometimes the numbers of Miles Bridges are not sexy as it pertains to the National Player of the Year conversation. and many believe that the stock of Miles Bridges has taken a hit due to that. And actually, ESPN, they put out a ranking of the top players in college basketball right now. And there was a snippet on Miles Bridges that actually, you know, I read and Deshaun sent me this morning. And I just want to tell you what it reads here. This is what it says about Miles Bridges. He's in the stock down section of this write-up from ESPN. This is what it says. Quote, Miles Bridges, Michigan State Spartans, the sophomore star, shot to the top of Wooden Award watch list the minute he decided to return to East Lansing for an encore last spring. He was a preseason favorite to lead a stacked lineup and make the Spartans one of America's most dangerous teams. Well, Bridges is leading his team with 17 points per game, and Michigan State is ranked number one. So why is he dropping? Bridges, his numbers this season are so far on pace or slightly behind what he put up during an impressive season, but he hasn't taken a big step forward on paper yet this year. He's had some pedestrian shooting efforts recently and has yet to really grab the spotlight in a big game. Then it goes on to say in parentheses, teammates outscored him in wins against UNC and Notre Dame. Bridges is still very much in position to jump back into contention with a strong conference season, but there are definitely a handful of players, and then it gets cut off there. That's the snippet that he sent me this morning in a small write-up. But there aren't many people nationally. You know, even when I was watching, you know, some NBA hoops last night, I checked out the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics NBA game last night when I got done covering the Michigan State women's basketball game and the announcers. It was Mark Jackson, I forget the play-by-play guy for the game on ESPN last night, but they were discussing, you know, some of the top dogs in men's college hoops this year. And, of course, this conversation was brought about because of how Trae Young, if you have not gotten the chance to check out Oklahoma's Trae Young, you better get to a television ASAP because he'll be playing for at most 3 months, and then that brother is heading to the NBA. He is so talented, so talented. He can score multiple ways. His court vision is God-given. He's amazing. And Oklahoma actually topped Okie State last night, and he had a great performance there. I think he had like 27 points over 10 assists. He was great. He has been great this year. So Trey's name was brought up during the broadcast with Mark Jackson and a few other names, but no Miles Bridges. And I sat there and said to myself, wow, you know, maybe the perception of Miles is changing a bit. Because, again, Michigan State ranked numero uno in the country, but his numbers haven't been eye-popping in comparison with some of the other talent that we are seeing, such as a Trae Young in men's college basketball. So with that being said, will we see Miles Bridges, who was looked at as a consensus top five, top 10 NBA draft player this upcoming summer, will that take a hit a bit? You know, I still think that Miles will, you know, he'll be a top 20 player, without a doubt. But is he still a lottery pick in the eyes of the NBA scouts and knows in the upper echelons of the NBA? Now, it's so early to have this conversation because, heck, I mean, we're talking about the preliminary stages of Big Ten play here. We got to see how things play out here. And I think the smart NBA scout would take in consideration just how stacked this year's Michigan State men's basketball team is. So Miles isn't going to be the guy throwing up 33 points every single night. We've seen multiple players that can lead Michigan State in scoring on any given night. You got to take that in consideration. But anybody who watches Miles Bridges and you look at his athleticism, look at his ability to shoot the mid-range jumper, to nail it from deep, to take you off the dribble, to slam it home with the best of them. Miles Bridges is a lottery pick. The big question, though, is when it comes to the national perception of Bridges, is it changing a bit? What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We do have, is John on line one right now, Ian? We have John on line one, who wants to give us the answer to today's trivia question for a chance to win a pair of tickets to check out Michigan State men's basketball tonight. The trivia question is, when was the last time Michigan State has been ranked number one in the national polls, and how long did they hold down the top spot for? John on line one. Well, first off, John, thank you so much for calling in, and welcome to Current Sports. How you feeling, my man? Happy New Year.
I'm feeling good.
All right. Let's see if we can keep that going then with your answer to today's trivia question. What is your answer, John?
2015.
Okay, and how long?
4 weeks.
You got it. John, congratulations. Ian will tell you how you can pick up these tickets. Enjoy the game tonight, all right?
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's Current Sports by commenting on Harlan Barnett, of course, a member of the Michigan State football coaching staff, in talks with Florida State, and we'll roll back the clock a bit with a segment we call Throwback Thursday. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just gave away a pair of tickets to check out the Michigan State men's basketball team, who will be hosting Maryland tonight at the Breslin Center. The trivia question was, when was the last time Michigan State has been ranked number one in both polls, and how long did they hold down the top spot? And John nailed it. It was the 2015-16 regular season, and the Spartans held down that top spot for 4 weeks. Tom Izzo absolutely loves having the number one top-ranked team in the nation because it does so much. And again, he reiterated earlier this week that it means nothing. You know, we're talking about this in January. We still got a lot of basketball left to play. We're just now scratching the surface of the Big Ten conference season. However, when you're ranked numero uno, it does so much for the school. It gets the student body hyped up. It's great for the fans. It really is, and it's an exciting time. And I also want to note this as well. You guys will notice a new addition to the Hall of History. Those checking out tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game, when you enter the front doors, you know, which leads you right to the Hall of History, and you look to your right, you will see a waxed display of your head coach, Tom Izzo, as he's standing up in a suit and in tie. As he's standing up next to the Spartan basketball bench with a few of, like, no-name players who have been depicted in the image as well. And, you know, I saw it when I was walking out after covering the Michigan State women's basketball game last night. And I chuckled to myself, but also, you know, was a little bit creeped out. Because I must say, it's like one of those horror movies, right? When they have, like, the statues staring at you, or the doll staring at you in a low-light setting. If you are, like, cleaning up the Breslin Center's Hall of History late at night as a janitor, and you see that waxed depiction of Tom Izzo and, you know, three random players, it may spook you out a bit. Now, me, I love the display. I love it. If you haven't seen the pictures of it, just simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. I love it. I think it does look like Tom Izzo. You have to take, like, a second look at it, though. I think it does look like Tom Izzo. Ian, have you seen these pictures? Go to our Facebook page if you haven't. I think it looks a lot like Tom.
Yeah, the Tom Izzo one is actually, like, spooky realistic and how they nailed his face.
Like, they even had, like, the scar above his, like, his eyebrow, mm-hmm. and, you know, the hair follicles and, you know, the wrinkles on his face look very real.
Yeah, some of the people on the bench don't look as real. You can tell they're kind of like wax figures.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they're random.
The Tom Izzo one, they spent a lot of time on that one.
But, you know, it's so crazy. A lot of people on social media, when I posted this, a lot of people don't agree. A lot of people think it doesn't look anything like Tom Izzo. Like Kevin, for instance, he says, I think the Izzo looks pretty bad. Al says, I saw that on my way out last night. The players are a little cartoonish, but Wax Izzo looks very old and wrinkled, and has pretty bad hair. The real-time Izzo looks much better. Then we have Sade. She says, looks nice. Dave says, looks terrible. David says, doesn't even look like Izzo. And the reactions are so varied here.
It's all over the board.
It's all over the board. I like it a lot. I think it looks a lot like Tom Izzo.
I do too.
If you ask me, but everybody sees things through a different lens. And some are just so negative, like, oh, this is horrible. Like, why do people in 2017 have to be, well, 2018 now, and they were in 2017 as well.
Oh, it's the same.
Everybody is so negative sometimes. Like, this is such a cool depiction of your coach, you know, coaching on the sidelines. Embrace it. Stop being negative Nancy's all the time, people. Oh, my gosh. I hate it. I can't be around negative people. I've always been that way, dude. I've cut a lot of friends off from back in the day because of that. It's just so negative all the time. Gosh.
Oh. Yeah, we're lucky to even have a wax statue of our head coach.
Exactly.
Appreciate that. Someone
embrace
took the time
it.
To make that
it
for us.
It could have looked like Chewbacca. And it still would have been cool in my eyes. Just embrace the thing, man. Oh, goodness. All right, do we even have time? We don't have time for Throwback Thursday. I'll mention a few, and you can play the outro music here, Ian. I'll mention a few here. 1984, Wayne, the great one, Gretzky, scored 8 goals, 4 goals, and 4 assists. Pretty cool stuff there. For the second time in his NHL career, Edmonton Oilers defeated the Minnesota North Stars 12-8. The game was the highest scoring NHL game to date. Also, Don Shula announced his retirement from coaching the Miami Dolphins on this day back in 1996. And 1999, former professional wrestler Jesse Ventura was sworn in as Minnesota's 37th governor on this day back in 99. All right, there you have it, a small version of Throwback Thursday. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. Catch a 2-minute drill report from tonight's Michigan State Maryland men's basketball game. That and more as we will have more coverage on tomorrow's show. Be easy, people.